Amos is the, if you look at the prophets and we, you know, in trying to find the book, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Well, the truth is, chronologically, Amos is way over here. He's at the for your side, it's over here. Now, he's way at the beginning. Now, he's way at the beginning of the timetable. He's the first prophet. Now, you know, it's when we look at the Bible, we say, well, he's a minor prophet. That just, you know, he's not one of the big time ones we think of, but he is actually the first one to take a stand as we see recorded in the scriptures. In Amos chapter 6, in the last verse there, verse 14, he says, behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord God of hosts. They shall afflict you from the entering in of Hamath to the river of the wilderness. So God says, I'm bringing judgment on you. That judgment is going to be someone from the outside attacking you. And they're going to be from here to there. Can you imagine? I know we love our country and we don't like the idea of somebody coming across the ocean to get to us. Of course, we don't really fear Canada very much, and we don't think of Mexico and the southern region as being very threatening to us. Of course, we've got Cuba and alliance with Russia. But we don't really think about an invasion by a foreign enemy on our soil. You know, of course, 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, we think of those two. But the reality is that when God judged Israel, he said, I will bring in another nation and judge you. In verse 1 of chapter 7, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. Oh, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. It came to pass when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land. Now, pause just a second there. A grasshopper coming in when there's not much there to eat already, what will they do? They will decimate it. What will that do? What will that impact? The future. The future. So when we think about the future, that we talk about hope, love, and forgiveness. Forgiveness for the past, love for today, and hope for what? The future, for tomorrow. And that's one of those three things that we need in order to thrive in this life, is we've got to have hope. If you take hope out of a person's heart, they're nearly dead when you take their hope away. And so maybe we've all been in seasons of our lives where our hope was lost. And I'll say this, had we not found it again, we probably wouldn't be here tonight. But that hope is taken away with those grasshoppers feeding. It says, when they got finished eating, I said, Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? He is small. Who's going to help us, Lord? How are we going to recover from this? We don't have the ability to recover from this. And then he says in verse 3, the Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. What does that tell you there in verse number 3? What? God is merciful? What does it tell you? Okay, they're going to survive. Okay, God changed his mind. People don't like that. God's in control. He what? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. Who did we pray for tonight? Who did you pray for in our prayer time? I know I was praying. Were you just praying along with me? Or was there some burden on your heart? You know, Sister Sonia mentioned those three young children and their conditions. And she said, I've been praying and praying and praying. This one I was telling Brother Don about, I had the baby today. I got news early this morning. Something was wrong. And I prayed. And I prayed. And then everything was okay. And so We pray, God, help us. God, help them. Help their situation. Help their need. Now, I'll tell you something, though, just because I love that family, but if things had not gone well, it would not have impacted my life, except for the fact that I know them and I love them. But there's no direct, there was no advantage for me to pray. There was no benefit for me to pray. Guys, we got to pray for other people when we have no benefit in it. We got to pray for people we don't know, never met, wouldn't recognize on the street. We pray for the world. That's a whole lot of people I never met. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace of Israel. We pray that people will be reached there at the Olympic Games. I'm not there, but my friends are. Reaching people, sharing the gospel. That's what we pray. And God hears our prayer. Verse 4, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. Behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire. It devoured the great deep and did eat up a part. So it not only burned up the water, but it came up onto the land a part. So the water's gone and the land is burned. When does that affect us? Today. So we're dealing with our future and we're dealing with our present. You see, sometimes when it's off in the future, in fact, there was a king in the Bible and God was judging him and God said, well, the judgment will not come in your day, but in your son's day. And what did that king say? Oh, well, it's not going to be in my day. What do I care? Isn't that tragic? Tragic. We're supposed to leave a better world for our children. King said, well, if it's not in my day, why does that affect me? So it affects their future. But it affects them now. You see, sometimes people can't think about the future. They don't save. They don't plan. People can get really locked in and they don't think about the consequences of their words or their actions, of their decisions. We got to think long term. You know, how is this going to affect me later? Somebody reached out to me a couple of days ago, said, what are you writing a 2 weeks notice? And I said, do you have another job? And said, not yet. I said, don't write 2 weeks notice. Right. Thank you for this great job. That's what you put. What a blessing it is to have a paycheck every week. Hey, you don't have a job, you don't write it. He said, well, I got some plans, got something coming down the pike. I said, all right. Guys, we got to think. You know, unless you have the solution, don't jump off the bridge. Don't walk the plank unless you know what's out there. People have been so careless and so reckless with their decision, they just don't like their boss. How many of you ever didn't like your boss? I mean, you can only tolerate it so long, but you got to tolerate it sometimes. You got to put up with stress sometimes and heartache sometimes. Life's not always going to be easy. We got to think about the future, not just now, but the future. And that's hard for some people to think about tomorrow. But so God says, okay, tomorrow doesn't affect you. Let me get you today. Let me get you where you are. Let me get you where you live. What do we preach? We preach Jesus crucified and risen, sitting on the right hand of God, offering forgiveness to those who will put their confidence in him. So you know what people will say? Well, I'm not dying. So why does it matter? They don't plan for heaven. They don't plan for eternity. And so you know what God will do? God will say, let me see where you are now. Let me reach out where you are now. Let me put a little stress on you now and see what happens. Well, sometimes that stress today will get them. Sometimes that stress today will cause us to look to God. And I've heard testimony after testimony of where, you know, they knew about eternity and they knew about God and they knew about Jesus and they knew about sin and salvation. But when they looked off, they didn't do anything about it until God got them where they live and they fell on their face in a hospital chapel and said, God, I surrender. Why? Because God got them where they are now. Hosea Verse 5 said, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob rise? He is small. And the Lord repented for this. He hears our prayer. This also shall not be, saith Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? I said, plumb line. And said the Lord, behold, I set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. A plumb line. What is that? It's a plumb line. Okay, so you know, so it shows you true, right? You hold that line up, and it's got a weight at the bottom, and it shows you a straight line. Just don't hold it next to anything I've ever built, please. Right? Well, now we have levels, right? We take a level and throw it up against there and hold it and see where the bubble is on it. And Brother Ronnie will say, close enough. It's not as good as a plumb line, Brother Ronnie said. That plumb line shows you true. I mean, there's no way to fake that. No way to cheat that. That plumb line is straight up and down. God said, I will put a standard, a plumb line, a measurement in the midst of my people. He said, I want you to understand what the standard is. Not to the right, not to the left. Straight up and down. Straight. And I will not again pass by them anymore. It's a curious phrase, the way he says that, isn't it? I will not again pass by them. There's a celebration that is observed each year. It is the one Jesus ate before he was crucified. It is commemorative of a night that the Hebrews were set free from Egypt when they took a lamb and they sacrificed it. They went in their home with their shoes on, ready to go. And the Lord said, the death angel will come. And if I see the blood on the doorpost and the sidepost, I will pass over. That's the word he used in Exodus. That's the term we use for the festival or the observation, the commemoration, which leads us into communion or the Lord's Supper. The time when Jesus was crucified, probably also the time when he was born. Pass over. When I see the blood, I will pass over. That's what we're talking about here. I will no more pass by them. Well, what was Passover? Passover was mercy. Passover is overlooking. Passover is, okay, you got blood, so I'm going to keep going and not judge. I will no longer pass over. In other words, I'm not going to let you get away with it anymore. Now you've got a standard. Guys, we have no excuse. No excuse. Not only has he given us the whole Bible to read, to understand, to study, to know the mind, the heart, the will of God, he's given us, as children of God, the indwelling of his divine spirit. The Holy Spirit of God inside of us to direct us and convince us and convict us. But Jesus brought it down real simple, and he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, right? Well, I don't understand the whole Bible. You don't understand that phrase? He brought it down to one paragraph. He said, this is it right here. Live by this. We have no excuse but to live right, to do right. There is a standard. He said, I'm going to put a standard in the midst of my people. What was that standard? That standard was not even the Bible. That standard was Jesus. That standard was the Son of God that God sent down into the midst of his people. You see, the pastor's not our standard. The deacons are not our standard. The preachers are not our standard. The church members are not our standard. The standard is Jesus Christ. He's the only one, straight up and down. He's the only one that we can look to and say, I want to be like Him. I want to love like He loves. I want to work like He works. I want to help like He helps. I want to surrender like He was surrendered. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He sacrificed Himself, submitted Himself, surrendered Himself, even to the death of the cross. With a certain standard, there's no doubt what God is expecting of us. Verse 9, God said, the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Who's Jeroboam? Jeroboam's a king. Who's preaching this? Amos. Well, there's a priest that time named Amaziah. Right? Verse 10. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Started off by talking about some of these Christians that are criticizing other Christians. We're taking a stand. That's Amaziah. You know what? Amaziah had the ear of the king. We mentioned Jonah earlier. Remember Jonah? He went and he preached in that city of Nineveh, big city, huge metropolis. He didn't even want to go, but he finally gave in and went and preached. The Bible says that the king of that city called for a fast. The king of that city called for a declaration of prayer and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. The king. Why? Because somebody got to the king. Amaziah got to the king. But he didn't go to say, Jeroboam, boy, you better come hear this preacher. Oh, boy, he's setting the world on fire. He's telling us we better get our hearts right. He's telling us we better get right with God or something bad is going to happen. We better go hear what he's got to say. He's got the heart of God. God's got his ear and God's speaking through him. Maybe we better figure out what he means and maybe we better surrender. Amaziah didn't do that. What might have happened if Amaziah had gone to Jeroboam and said, Jeroboam, let's go listen to this preacher and hear what he's saying. Let's have him into the palace and let's hear what God is saying. Maybe we could stop it. No, he said, that kind of preaching's not welcome here. That kind of preaching's old-fashioned. He said, in fact, you could preach that stuff, but you know what? In order to preach that, you got to go down south. So all the good preachers are, right? You want to preach that kind of stuff, go down south. I mean, look, that's what it says in the Bible. Amos said to Jeroboam, thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah. There eat bread and prophesy. Go on down there. Right? We're in the land of Israel up north. Y'all go down Judah. Go down south and preach that kind. They'll still listen to that kind of preaching down south. They'll still listen to that kind of preaching in the mountains. They'll still listen to that kind of preaching in the country. But don't you try coming into the city. Don't you try coming into the capital city and preach that kind of stuff. Don't you try coming in here and telling us that we're in a position of judgment, that God's mad at us, that God's looking at what we're doing and it's unacceptable. Don't look at us and tell us that you don't embrace our sin and coexist with us in our debauchery. You can't preach that kind of stuff anymore. What he said, right? Look at what he said. I want you to hear what he says. The land is not able to bear all his words. He was to represent God, but he was too interested in the false peace. A false peace. Everything's fine. Right? Everything's fine. Yes, it does. Everything's, don't pay attention to how it really is. Don't pay attention to what your life is like. Don't pay attention to what you see. Don't pay attention to what you've heard. Everything's fine. Amaziah says that if you don't like that, get out of here. Go down south and preach that stuff. But prophesy not again, verse 13, any more at Bethel. It is the king's chapel. It is the king's court. Oh, hold on just a second. I believe that's the Lord's city at that time. But here's a priest. More concerned about offending the king than he is about offending God. And more interested in appeasing the king and appeasing the people than he is about doing what's right. That's why we're in the mess we're in. It is the king's chapel, he said. I like what he says in verse 14, and we'll close there. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet. Neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Amos says, guys, I was minding my own business. You think I wanted to come in here and upset everybody? I don't want to do that. You think I want to come in here and become public enemy number one by offending everybody? That wasn't my plan. I was out there picking fruit and walking sheep. And I was happy. But God reached out to me and he said, go prophesy to my people. He said, you're his people. Don't you think I'm going to come talk to his people? The people he loves? And warn them. He gave me a vision. He said, there's going to be grasshoppers and ruin your future. And then he gave me another vision and said, I'm going to get them where they live right now. I'm going to send an enemy in with a sword and he's going to get them from here to there. I'm just here to warn you. I can go back and pick fruit. I just thought you'd want to know. Isn't that something? Guys, I really don't know what people think out there, the lost, the unsaved, the unchurched, the saved that don't go to church. I don't know what they think we're about. I don't get any kicks by upsetting people, provoking people, offending people. That doesn't excite me. I'm trying to warn people, not just about the future, but about today. If the Lord comes back tonight, I don't want blood on my hands. If God's got a burden on your heart for somebody and you say, but I just don't think they'll get saved, try it. Just ask them. Hey, are you born again? I've been thinking about something. Are you going to heaven? You might find another way to approach the conversation. Hey, you know what? I've been meaning to tell you about my Jesus. I've been thinking about myself and the end of my life, and I just want you to know that when I die, you don't have to weep for me because I'm going to heaven. That's a way to start a conversation, isn't it? I just want you to know. And it's not that I hope so. It's not because I'm a good person. It's because I prayed to God and said, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. Rose the third day. God, forgive my sins. Save my soul. And God did. My name's written up there. And I know that when I leave this place, that's where I'm going. If you've got a burden, God's given you a name, a face, somebody that you need to reach. Don't put it off. I'm telling you, time is too short. People die every day, unexpectedly. Would you stand? I'm glad that we are down south, where we can still preach. And I know that the north is moving in on us, aren't they? God, we love you, and we're thankful to be able to come in your house together and open your word. And Lord, this is not just a message for their time, it's a message for ours. As much as people would try to tell us everything's okay and nobody's in danger of judgment, nobody's going to hell and all those things, we know the truth. God, prick our hearts, open our eyes, let us see the ones that need it the most, the opportunities that lay before us, that we can show them a Savior that can change their lives. Fill us with your love, with hope, and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen.